It almost seems in this story that Jesus is deliberately trying to offend. We've been reading through this story for several weeks. First, he performs a miraculous sign, feeds a great multitude of people, thousands of people with only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Then the next day, when the multitudes follow from one side of the lake to the other, he says, "You didn't come here to seek truth. You just want to get your bellies full again." And then he speaks words that to them would have been blasphemies. "Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. That wasn't bread from heaven. I am the bread of heaven. I am the bread of life." By now, some of the listeners are getting angry. They're arguing. They're practically fighting. What does he mean? Is he the promised one of God or merely just an insulting, blasphemous devil? I mean, he practically claims to be God, they're saying. And then today, Jesus puts the icing on the cake. He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh, drink my blood, have eternal life. I will raise them on the last day. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. So whoever devours me will live because of me." What does all this mean? When you see the rest, the last bit of the story next Sunday, you'll see that almost everyone at this point, from thousands down to just a few, almost everyone has deserted him. What is he talking about? Is he being offensive? It sounds like cannibalism. He's certainly not making it easy for these people to accept him. Didn't his mother teach him that old saying, "You catch more flies with honey than vinegar"? So what do you think? What is Jesus trying to say with this progression of thought? "You want more bread? I am the bread of heaven. You thought Moses brought down the bread of heaven? I bring the true bread of heaven. How will I give this bread of life? I give my flesh. How can I give you my flesh? Truly, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." What does this mean? Now, of course, my guess is that many, if not most of us, upon hearing this, are making a leap to the Eucharist, to Holy Communion. "Unless you eat of my body and drink my blood" means unless you share in the Lord's Supper. Of course, that's what we would think, because we gather at Christ's table every week. Every week we proclaim that we receive Christ's body and blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine. For us, this only makes sense to connect Jesus' words in John 6 to communion. And that's good. But we also shouldn't jump ahead too fast, because we need to remember that while the Gospel of John is clearly making a connection between what Jesus said and the church's communion practice, we also have to remember that in the gospel, in the storyline, in John's book, when Jesus says these words to the crowds, the Last Supper hasn't even happened yet, much less the tradition in the church, in the worship life of the church, of celebrating Holy Communion. That doesn't even begin until decades after Jesus' death and resurrection. So the question that's here is, what might these first hearers have made of these words? What did they mean before they became the foundation for our understanding of Holy Communion? I want to look again at exactly what Jesus says. What does he say will happen to us if we eat his flesh and drink his blood? Verse 53, to have life in you. Verse 54, to have eternal life and be raised up on the last day. Verse 56, you will abide in Jesus and Jesus will abide in you. Verse 7, to live because of Jesus. Verse 58, have life forever. Again and again, the pattern is clear. What does eating and drinking Jesus do to us? It changes our life. It changes who we are. It's like that contemporary saying, we are what we eat. This text is about Christ changing the quality of our life. It makes our life eternal, God-filled, impervious to the power of death. Why? Because Jesus, who is life, abides in us. Because Jesus, who is life, is part of us. It seems to me that this whole talk Jesus is giving of eating and drinking Jesus means simply taking Jesus into ourselves. Taking him into ourselves and becoming with him people of life. Not people of death, but people of life. This is far more than just saying, I get to live forever. There'll be life after this one. It's far more than that. This is saying, with Jesus, I'm becoming a person who deals life, not death. I'm becoming a person who embodies life, not death. I'm becoming a person who embraces life, not caught up in the fear of death. One of the key themes through the whole Gospel of John from beginning to end is that Jesus' arrival forces people to make a choice. Jesus' ministry, as revealed in the Gospel of John, is a series of signs. Jesus is enacting signs from God which demand a response, a choice. Today is no different. Our multi-week journey through John chapter 6 from the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 to today leads up to this question, to this choice. Will we take into ourselves all that Jesus is? Will we devour Jesus? Will we digest him? Will we take his life into our own? Will we embody him? Will we let him flush out the power of death? Will we let him transform our fearful living, self-serving living, self-preoccupied, power-hungry, control-desiring, broken, often dividing and vengeful, suspicious of others? Will we let him transform our fearful, anti-other selves? That's the question this story asks, I think. This is our calling. This is our gift. Will we again and again, over and over, take into ourselves Jesus' words, his servant nature, the path that he lays before us? Again and again, restarting when we stray off the path, beginning again to take Jesus into ourselves. Will we take Jesus into ourselves so that we might again and again begin to understand his good news, that forgiveness, not grudges and disdain that lead to hatred and conflict, that sharing not retribution or vengeance. That loving, not seeking somebody else to blame and point at and to despise. Will we take Jesus into ourselves so that we might again begin to understand that forgiveness and sharing and loving, this is the true way. This is God's way that Jesus reveals. This is the way of life in God's reign. It's the only way of life that has the power to last forever. The good news is this. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Jesus Christ is God taking humanity into God's own self so that we might be invited to take what is God's. Take God's own self into ourselves. This is good news. Jesus' gift of life is so much more than anything the world promises. So much more than all the treasures the world offers, the prestige, the possessions, the control, the certainty, the power, which so often turn out to be illusions. Jesus' gift is so much more. The body and blood of Christ, which we are fed, gives us relationships based in forgiving and serving and loving, gifts us with community. True community based on mutual compassion, mutual self-giving. For one reason, these gifts are given so that all might share life. Today, as we come to this table, to this bread and wine, this food and drink, somehow, by the power of God, Jesus is made present. We devour the very presence of God. God's gifts are offered and made real again. Grace, forgiveness, hope and joy, peace and love, possibility, the invitation to a life transformed. Here at this table, we are not only fed physically, intellectually, spiritually by God's power, we are transformed. We're changed. We're made new. We are declared the body of Christ for the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.